the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things. Those things were the making of peace between the enemies of Abraham and Abraham himself, the friend of God. And in the previous chapter, you'll find how the head of the Philistines, Abimelech, came, the king, to make peace with Abraham. And peace was made. And Abraham continued to sojourn in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. That is not temptation unto sin, but the word there is test. Abraham, God tests his people, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. How ready Abraham was to respond to the wonderful call of God. His ear was open. He was ready to respond. God's looking for response from our hearts tonight. He wants us to respond to his word. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. What an effect that must have had upon Abraham. What a message that the son that he was promised and the son that he had prayed for and the son he had waited until he was 100 years old before his son was born. Now is told by God, leave home, consult not with your wife, but go and travel into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. God does not reveal everything at once. He did not tell Abraham where exactly it was, but he said, I will tell you when you make the first steps of obedience, I will give you light on the way you have to walk. God does not show us everything he wants us to do. He leads his dear children along day by day, hour by hour, in the light of his will and in the light of his promise. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I wonder how many times you have noticed that expression in the Bible. People who rose early. They weren't lie-inners. They didn't need to have an alarm clock or the BBC news to waken them. They got up of their own accord to read the word and to pray and to do the day's work in the will of God. And what a day this was going to be for this man of God. He must have risen with a heavy heart. And you'll notice he did everything. Although he had some 300 members on his staff working for him, he did everything. He saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him. He took Isaac, his son. He cleaved the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Here is an obedient man obeying God to the full, and himself taking the first place to do God's will. Then on the third day, you should mark all the third days in the Bible. You'll find every one of them are of great interest, and every one of them are linked together in the golden chain of the inspiration of the Bible. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Think of that. He was told he was going to have to offer his son Isaac upon that altar. And yet he stands with his men and he says, I'm going yonder to worship. You can never worship God without sacrifice. God commands that we bring our sacrifices with us. The person that is not ready to surrender can never worship God. God dwells not with disobedient people, but he loves obedient people. And he took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Beautiful picture of God the Father leaving the cross on the shoulders of his son. How Abraham's heart must have been sore as he laid the wood for the sacrifice on the back of his young son. But what about the heart of the Heavenly Father? And what about the heart of the Heavenly Son? When in eternity, God laid the cross that alone could redeem us, on the shoulders of his precious Son. And he took the fire in his hand. And he took a knife. Isn't it interesting that the two weapons of death are mentioned together? The fire and the knife. And they both of them, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I was looking at this portion of Scripture again today, and there were some things that came to my mind as I pondered it. First of all, you'll never understand the book of Genesis until you see that Genesis is a double history. It's a history of God's men before the flood. And it's the history of God's men after the flood. And if you take the story of the patriarchs before the flood and the story of the patriarchs after the flood and compare them, you will find that there is a deep comparison between them. Just look at them. And look at them carefully. And you'll see the unity between the patriarchs before the flood and the patriarchs after the flood. As something more, we are introduced when we come to the patriarchs after the flood, we are introduced to Abraham. Abraham stands as a giant in the book of Genesis. But he also stands as a giant throughout the whole of the Bible. Isn't it most interesting that Christ describes heaven as Abraham's bosom? What a privilege Abraham had when God described eternal joy that comes to the soul that departs this world. The angels bore the soul of Lazarus and took him, that soul, to Abraham's bosom. That's the standing of Abraham in the Bible. And if you look down this particular chapter, you'll find that God commends and recommends Abraham. Just look with me at that chapter, and you'll see the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because," what's the reason? "Because thou hast obeyed my voice." God is looking for obedience. And he's looking for obedience to his own word. Therefore, we should be careful readers of his word to know what he wants us to do and then to do it. And that's the secret of the blessing, of the infilling of the Spirit of God and the joy of the Lord, which will be our strength. But I want to refer you tonight to the first part of that chapter, which struck me greatly today. And it says in verse 3 that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. Two of his young men with him. And then when we turn over a little farther to verse 5, And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Two men. A wonderful study. Go through the Bible and you'll find two men occurring over and over and over again in the Word of God. Those two men that Abraham took with him, of course, are historical types of what actually did happen when the real Passover was kept. When God the Son died upon the cross. And there was a whole series of two men that were picked out just before and as it was happening and after it happened, the cross of the Lord Jesus. And we have a type of them here. If you would turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, you'll find something interesting there, Matthew chapter 21. And it is at the verse 2. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass. Here is the ass again. It's a tied ass. And a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. So here, as we open the first book of the Bible, Genesis, with two men and an ass. And when we turn over to Matthew, we have two men and an ass. That should show you the intimate relationship between these two men in the picture, the prophetic picture of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and the two men in the actuality of the 21st chapter of Matthew. Two men. These men, I believe, these two men were Peter and John. Because when we come a little farther in the Gospels, and if you turn with me now to the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, you will find at verse 8, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go, prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. The man one day who was a great critic of the Bible said to me, Ian, do you see that? Why on earth do you believe that? I said, I believe it because the Lord spoke it. But he said, sure, there must have been hundreds of men carrying water. I said, no, the men didn't carry water. It was the woman that carried all the water. So when this man was carrying the water, He was isolated. He was one single man. You know, the Bible is always right, and the fools that denounce it are always wrong. Christ is talking about a single man. This single man carrying the water. And they went their way and they did what the Lord had told them to do. It's a great thing to obey the Lord. So we have two men with the colt, the ass, and then we have two men sent to set the table for the Passover. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The provision will be made. But then when you come over a little farther to John's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 15, you'll find these two men reoccurring. In John 18 and verse 15, you will find they reoccur. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And John always refers to him in his gospel as another disciple in his own gospel. So here we have two men, and this time they go to the high priest's house. And you know what happened there? The denial. But Peter denied the blessed Son of God. But then, if you turn back to the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel, these two men appear again. And it is a different appearance, of course, in this, when we read about what took place. We read about Peter, and Peter rose and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, the 12th verse of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. But if you read John's Gospel, chapter 20, you'll find there was another disciple with him. Again, John was with him at this time. But a very interesting thing I noted today, there are six things which Peter did at this time. First of all, he arose. Secondly, he ran. Thirdly, he stooped down. Fourthly, he beheld the linen clothes. And he then departed. And sixthly, he wondered. You just think of those six things that Peter did. They're very interesting. You say, why do you say they are very interesting? Because there's one thing missing. Six in the Bible is the number of man, and it always speaks of failure. There should have been a seven. Peter should have believed, but he didn't. Faith was not there. And we can be like Peter. We can arise. We can run to the sepulchre. We can stoop down. We can behold the linen clothes. We can depart and wonder. But it's all in vain if we do not believe. How many people come to God's house and they don't believe? And they go just away, the way they came in. How many people come and God sees their heart that they want to do what's right and they want to believe. And there's a kindling of the blessed Holy Spirit within their soul. And something happens. They not only arise, they not only run, they not only stoop down, they not only behold, they depart. And they wonder, but they believed. The interesting thing is that the woman who came to the sepulchre, they believed. They believed. But when they told the unbelieving disciples, the unbelieving disciples laughed at in derision and in rejection. But that's not the end of the story. Turn over with me to the last chapter of the book of John. John's Gospel at the last chapter, 21. And here we have the final meeting of the two men. One of them is Simon Peter, and the other is John. And what a difference there is between them. You should read that chapter carefully before you go to sleep tonight. And ask God to open your eyes to see the difference between Peter and the difference between John. And you'll find the secret to it, that when John went to the sepulchre, he believed. You just check it. And it says, he believed. That's the difference. It is faith that makes the difference. And that is why that Abraham was such a man of God. Because that day, on the top of the mountain Moriah, same place as the Mount Calvary, he believed. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. May God help us to be not like Peter, but like John. And may we not only run and see. In fact, John ran the hardest. He outrun old Peter. Peter must have been eating far too much. And he must have been a big man with plenty of fat on him. But John outrun him. The historians tell us that John was just 17 years of age. He was only a young man. He was the boy of the disciples. That's why he had the honor to lay his head on the Savior's breast when they sat. The beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Does Jesus not love all his people? Of course he does. But all his people don't enter into the enjoyment of that love. There's not one person that the Lord ever saved that he loved more than anybody else. All God's people are loved with the same love. All God's people have entrance to the floods of God's love. But we don't partake of it. We seem to go on a starvation diet and not enjoy the love of God. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer in the cruel tree that I a ransomed soul might be. It's more than tongue can tell. May the Lord help us to enjoy His love tonight as we offer our prayers in faith before Him.